Well, when I was looking at our lectionary texts for this week, I kept coming back to one word, and that word is confidence. And that's where the sermon title comes from. Well, that's where this version of the sermon title comes from, Where's Your Confidence? The sermon title began with, From Whence Cometh Your Confidence, which is just too over the top even for me. And I was trying to come up with a more grammatical way of putting it, but I figured that's just the way it is. We're just going to ask the question, where's your confidence? And of course this comes from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Paul writes to the Philippians talking about confidence. And what is he having confidence in? Well, as much as anything, what Paul is talking about is what gives him confidence that he's doing what he should be doing. Where does his confidence come from that he knows he's following God, the true God? And where does his confidence come from, or where is it based, that he's figured out what he actually needs to figure out? And so he begins with a very interesting little list. It says, if anyone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, in the things of life, Paul says, I have more. And then he goes through this list. And he says he was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, which doesn't mean a whole lot to us, but what he's saying is that he was a Jewish person by birth. He didn't come in through this idea that the Jews had got a hold of the true God. This was something that was given to him before he was even born. He was part of that cultural and religious group, the Jews. He was a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He says, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. Well, for us, that's a bit of a challenge because, as I think I've said before, we have virtually no positive connotations to the word Pharisee. And we think, well, why would anybody bring that up? Well, let's not forget that when Paul was writing this letter, Pharisees were an extraordinary group of people. We don't really have an equivalent, certainly not religiously. I mean, a Pharisee was as if you took a seminary or a Bible college professor, a published author, a preacher at some mega church, someone who writes devotional literature on the side and leads worship, and rolled them all together. They're everything you could possibly be. But the only thing that comes close in our culture at all is maybe a professional athlete, someone who's devoted their entire life to one thing. And that's what Pharisees had done. They were the religious superstars of the day. The fact that they got some things wrong shouldn't change the fact that when Paul said he was a Pharisee, he wasn't saying that he was some kind of a strange person. He was saying, no, I really knew what was happening. As for zeal persecuting the church, he was so concerned about religious purity that he was willing to go anywhere to try and stamp it out. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Now, Paul is not immune to using hyperbole to make a point. He does so even in this book. But right here, I don't think he is. I think what Paul is saying, that when it came to the regulations, the easily written down requirements of following God, according to the Pharisees and to the Jewish leaders of the day, he was faultless. He wasn't good at it. He hadn't tried hard. He'd done it all. And so Paul is saying that when it comes to being religious, if there is anything that we can do here on earth to make us confident that we have achieved it or that we have arrived, he said, I have done it all. And none of it matters. Where's our confidence? Where's our confidence that we have done what we need to do to get to the place we are, to be the people that God has called us to be? There's all kinds of things that we can look at to see where our confidence might come from. Paychecks. Jobs. These give us confidence. We have arrived, we have been considered worthwhile enough that someone will pay us to do something. Perhaps our physical health. Perhaps our friendships. All of these things that we can look at, I'm pretty sure Paul would put in the same category. What Paul is telling us, because when he goes on to say, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. He doesn't consider it loss because it's useless in and of itself. He's saying that compared to other things, it's as if it was nothing. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Before Jesus came along, Paul knew everything that you could possibly need to know about how to be a religious person. He had essentially memorized the Old Testament, well, all the scriptures they had. He knew everything that was in there from front to back. He looks at all of these things and says, compared to knowing Jesus Christ, those things are like nothing. Where's our confidence? Are we perhaps confident that we can provide whatever we need to provide in the church because we've been Christians for a long time? Because we grew up in the church? Because we're what some people call goobas, growing up, born again? There was never a time we didn't know what was going on. Do we look at that as saying that that's enough? That we were culturally Christians? Does our confidence come from the fact that we've taught Sunday school? That we've been on committees? That people ask our advice? Does my confidence, when it comes to showing up here every Sunday, come from the fact that I've been to Bible college? I've been to seminary? I've learned the mechanics of how to preach? If I'm so inclined, I can probably go look up in books illustrations that are better than anything I might possibly come up with. Jokes that are funnier than anything I could invent. Does my confidence come from my ability to do research? No. Or if it does, it's a false confidence. Because what Paul's talking about here isn't so much just our ability to make our way through life. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's not saying that these things don't matter when it comes to paying our bills and being functioning members of society. Paul's writing to a church, or writing a letter to a church, saying there are things that you need to be aware of, that if you want to be the people that God has created you to be, and if you want to discharge the responsibilities that God has laid upon you, you need to be confident in your ability to do those, but make sure you know where your confidence comes from, so it can be true confidence and not false confidence. I can be as confident as I can possibly be that I can fly. But if I don't equip myself with an airplane, I'm going to be in trouble. If I climb to the top of the church and try and fly off, well, I suppose I'll be flying for a very brief period of time, but the landing won't be much. I can be as confident as I can possibly be that I can play professional football or something else. I can be as confident as I could be that I can play the piano. If I sit down there, you're not going to be happy with the result, and neither am I. Confidence in and of itself has no value. It's what you're confident in, or where it comes from, or what it's based on. And the thing that we need to understand is that there's a difference between being proud of things or being aware of what we've accomplished and placing our confidence in them when it can be misplaced. I can be proud of the fact that I went to college, seminary, I dropped out of high school. It's not, you know, it was kind of a surprise that I was successful there. And I was. I can be proud of that, and I am. I can look back on the experiences that have made me into who I am, and I can be proud of them, I can be aware of them, I can see the value that they've provided. But when it comes to standing up here in front of you, the fact that I was a competent debater might mean that I'm less likely to be at a loss for words. But if that's where I'm looking for my confidence in having something to say to you, I'm looking in the wrong place. Where's your confidence? Where does it come from? Our confidence comes from the appropriate backing to let us do what we need to do. My confidence that I have something to say to you that has value doesn't come from my studies. It doesn't come from my academic success. It doesn't come from the fact that I even got to teach sometimes some of these same kinds of things. My confidence comes from knowing Jesus Christ. I am confident when I step into this pulpit that I have something to say, not because I have something to say, not because my experience, my reading, has somehow equipped me in a way that it hasn't equipped you. Even if that's true, my confidence comes because the Holy Spirit has said, I will be with you. That when I moved into a relationship with God through Jesus, the Holy Spirit came along as well and gave me gifts that allow me to preach. I'm confident that what I have to say is going to be what you need to hear, because the Holy Spirit is taking what I say and shaping it in ways that are right for you. Doesn't mean it happens perfectly all the time. There are weeks when I don't put in the preparation that I do have. There are times when I step into this pulpit, honestly, basing all of my confidence on the fact that, yes, I did do well in school. And I'm pretty sure it shows. I don't get it right every Sunday. I don't think Paul would say he got it right every time either. But when I step into this space, I'm coming here not because of those things I have done, but because of the person that I am being transformed into through the power of knowing Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's helpful that I went to school. It's helpful that I know some things about how the Bible hangs together. It's helpful that I know how the scriptures we have before us arose and how they were collated and brought together and all of those things. Those are all helpful. But what has me here every Sunday isn't that. It's that deep sense that Jesus Christ is within me, empowering me to provide the message from His holy word that you need to hear. And that even on those weeks when I feel my weakest and my least confident, that the Holy Spirit is still here. My confidence for my ability to preach rests on my relationship with God through Jesus. Your confidence in your ability to speak truth into the lives of those around you, to live out the life that you have been called to live in your own relationship with God through Jesus, is grounded on that relationship. Your ability to speak truth into people's lives isn't based on the fact that you're pleasant, although probably that's helpful. It isn't based on the fact that you're clever, that you're articulate. Your ability to be compassionate to people in a way that transcends just normal human good thoughts towards someone, that's based on who you are in Christ. Our confidence springs from that firm, unshakable realization that God reached out to us before we even knew about Him. Drew us to Him, initiated the relationship we now have with Him, and has empowered us to do what He's asked us to do. Jesus has never asked me to fly, which is why I don't have to even try. He's never asked you to preach, perhaps. But what he's asked you to do, he's equipped you to do. And you can be confident that you're able to do that because your confidence rests on the ground of your relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not just on your natural skills, not just on your natural abilities, not just in your training, your education, your experience, all of those things, which are all part of it. But I'm confident that I have something to say when I step into the pulpit. In the same way that you're confident that you have something to offer when you're in a committee, when you're part of the elders, when you're having one of those deep and significant conversations with someone, your confidence comes because of Christ within you. Not just because you've known the person for a long time. Not just because you've experienced something similar, although those are all very significant parts of it. When we step into a conversation or a situation or whatever it is, and we know that we are where we should be and we will accomplish what God has put before us, that confidence comes not from the fact that somebody said we were good at whatever it is, although that's good to hear. Confidence comes from knowing that we have that relationship with God through Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit comes with it. That's what gives us confidence. It almost seems like a commonplace or something that we shouldn't even have to point out. But it's worth reminding ourselves that if Paul and all of his achievements, which were extraordinary by any standards in any time, if Paul looked at those and said, those are nothing compared to knowing Christ and knowing Christ crucified, who are we to say that our experience, the classes we've taken, the seminars we've attended, the mistakes we've learned from are all we need? Paul's not kidding around when he says, if you want to look at just attainments, I've got more than anyone. And if they're not good enough for him, why would ours be good enough for us? But Paul doesn't leave us there. He says, instead of looking at that, don't forget it, don't pretend it never happened, but instead of looking to that as the ground of what will make you successful or know that you are where you should be, look to the God who reached out to you before you knew he existed. Look to the God who was willing to come and die for us because he loved us so that we might become and be the people that we were created to be. Our confidence rests on Jesus. The relationship we have with him, and all that that builds into us. With that kind of confidence, that's when we can do whatever we're called to do. That's when we can step in and preach when we need to, even though that's not our gift. Or step in and be compassionate and patient when those aren't our gifts either. Whatever it might be. Where's your confidence? It's in Jesus. It's there waiting for you to pay attention to it, to fully take that into yourself and realize that that's what you need to go to that next level of caring for the people around you, of dealing with whatever it is in your life that you need to deal with. Don't forget those things that God has given to you, but don't look to them as if they were God. All that you need to move forward in strength and in confidence is found in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen.